Good morning, senior high. How are we doing today? All right, a little energy. That's good. Good to see you all. It's Sunday the 26th. We've got a big Commanders game today, so looking forward to that. Get up for the Commanders. How about Chiefs? Get up for that? Bills? Okay. Should be a good competition this afternoon. I know last week I was with junior high, and we were looking forward to snow, and I can see it outside, and that has me really excited for winter retreat. We got that in 3 weeks. You know, we're going to be looking into God, our creator, and our transformation into Christ's glory. So really excited about that. You know I love winter. And if you see me on the slopes, don't imitate anything I'm doing. It usually is not pretty. You know, they say imitation is the greatest form of flattery, that mediocrity can pay to greatness. And this is a quote from Oscar Wilde. He was a 19th century Irish poet and playwright. And, you know, many people were trying to duplicate or imitate his works on stage. And as we get into Philippians chapter 3 today, we're really going to be talking about, you know, imitators. You know, Paul wants us to press on towards our prize to fully know Jesus Christ and his resurrection power. And so I want to start with this first key thought, but of course I forgot the clicker. So if someone can grab the clicker and maybe Leanne, you can fast forward to that first slide, that would be great. So this is Philippians 3:17. It says, "Join in imitating me and keeping your eyes on those who walk according to the example." And so I bring up this idea of imitating. You know, Oscar Wilde was talking about mediocrity imitating greatness. And, you know, Paul was really trying to imitate Jesus's, you know, greatness. And so we want to, in the same way, we need to find godly people and imitate them. Now, that seems pretty simple. Find godly people and imitate them. You know, they're all around us. You have, you know, Pastor Shaw, you've got Sterling, Corinne, your small group leaders, your parents, you know, that love the Lord Jesus and are walking with him on a daily basis. Many of you do. And yet, this is a very difficult concept for us. You know, the world is going to set its own example for you on what it thinks greatness looks like. And it's going to put up all of these flashy things that are not in Scripture. You know, get great grades, get a great job, you know, go to the best school. These things are going to lead you astray from what your calling is in Scripture. And it really doesn't allow us to deal with our struggles or allow us to process our doubts and fears. And your examples, your models, you need to spend time with them to know them, to understand them. And this is how you should work on those models in your life. Find godly models and understand how they think, how they process, how they ground themselves. Where do they get their strength from? And of course, Jesus is our number one example in this. And what I want you to see, and we've talked about before, is that Jesus was fully human. He was the Son of God. And yet, in his humanness, he had to learn to walk, to eat. He, you know, was in God's presence on a regular basis. You see him pull away to pray. And, you know, that's the piece I want to see with you. You know, when he's 13 and they took him to the temple and his parents left, they found him in the temple. He was studying with the rabbis. He was learning and in growing in stature and wisdom. And that's what I want you to be doing, growing, gaining in your knowledge and wisdom of the Lord Jesus. So let's bow our heads and pray as we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the great example that you've given us, Lord, not only of Jesus, Father, Lord, to walk with you, to know you, to pursue you. Lord, we can see his life. Lord, and yet we have Paul and we have others, the other examples, Lord, that are striving to know you. And Lord, that you've used to communicate to us how we should walk, how we should live our life for Christ. Lord, I pray that your words would ring loud and true for these students today, Lord. May you become greater and I become less, Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, I want you to open to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start there. You know, God's word is living and active, and, you know, really reading it for ourselves, that's what changes us. And so nothing beats having my hard copy Bible to just turn the page and let that pour in. It helps me to be still and to know God. And so I encourage you to, you know, use that daily. You know, as we've already talked about in chapter 1, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so we know that Paul will do anything to be identified, you know, in the Lord. And he wants that for us, that we would know the Lord God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Let's see where we are. Here we go. So this morning I'm going to talk about, you know, five parts here in Philippians 3 and break it down this way. The first thing we're going to talk about is false teachers. And we're going to talk about confidence in our flesh. And we were talking a little bit about that earlier. The ultimate worth of knowing Christ is there in the middle. And then straining toward the goal to press on and to know Jesus. And then how do we live out of that we are citizens of heaven. So let's read here in first three verses. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. And so this first part, you know, couple, you know, minor things, right? He's writing to believers, brothers and sisters. You might as well say, you know, you here in Reston Bible Church, you here in Senior High Ministry, you know, rejoice in the Lord. And I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to be happy, to be joyful. Why? Because we are in the Lord. We know the Lord Jesus is our Savior. Amongst all the trials, all the struggles, all the temptations, we know that God is sovereign. We know that Jesus reigns. He will return. And we're victorious in him. And so whatever struggle you're facing today, rejoice in that, that you know the Lord Jesus and that you can draw strength from that, that we may be conquerors, you know, no matter what happens. And this next part, I see your parents or your small group leaders saying to you, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. You know, this is almost as if saying, hey, I told you once, it's okay. I love you. I care for you. I want the best for you. I'll tell you again and again and again. I'll tell you 10,000 times over and over. Why? Because Jesus loves you. You were created in the image of God. And that is no mistake. And so whatever you're troubled by today, know that Jesus loves you, that you're cared for, that you're seen in every trouble, every trial that you're struggling with today. God knows it and he sees you. And our text for you is to encourage you. And so my first point lies in this verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. So not only today, in today's context, we would think these evildoers are, you know, people that are stealing, people that are encouraging you to cheat. But really, that's not the case. Paul is referring to Jews who are teaching that following the law is the path to righteousness and pleasing God. The mutilators of the flesh, those are pagans that have rituals of really hurting and cutting their bodies. And so we have the Jews and we have the pagans. And either way, Paul's telling you, don't follow their example. Don't be imitators of them. They are false teachers. And so watch out for people who want to put you on the wrong path. If they're not sitting around you, they're not sitting under the teaching of Jesus Christ, then they are most likely going to lead you into things that the world system is putting around us. I can't help but think of the Matrix, you know, and the video that's there of just this image of how, hey, things are, you know, trying and we need to chase after those things. And Paul's saying, don't chase after those things. You know, focus on the things that God has put in front of you. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, as I was thinking about this and I was talking to my wife about trying to recall false teachers, you know, a specific person that came into my life, I did not find one person. Not that there wasn't one, but for me it was more the world system. You know my story, I got caught up in my parents' divorce and that just consumed all my thoughts and really sidetracked me. And so I got involved in playing travel soccer, getting good grades. And really, if I just put my head down and I focused on those things, focused on my performance on and off the field, that just became the purpose for my existence, my flesh, you might say. I just went with it. I didn't know any better. And so the world system put up this facade like you need to chase after these things. This is what the world says is good. And it's probably no different for you. Playing soccer, playing basketball, being in the theater, worship, you know, playing music, those abilities. There's nothing wrong with those things. But don't put them on the pedestal in front of God. You're here for a purpose, that you would know God, that you would seek after him, and that you would share him with the world. Remember, you are God's plan A to reach the lost people around you. And he wants you to be in that, to know that. You know, I did not know until I was 27 to meet the Lord Jesus here at Rest and Bible Church. And I'm grateful that I did, you know, better late than never. But I'm grateful that each one of you are here, that you know the Lord now, and that you're getting good teaching about who Jesus is and what his true purpose for you is in life. And that you would honor and glorify God in all that you do. But do it so that you might have a platform to tell about Jesus Christ. One of the things I've been really encouraged about is watching Jaden Daniels play this year. And he always gets the post-game interview. And he always says, it's for the glory of God. He gave me these abilities that he might be honored. And, you know, he's quick to point that out, that it's for God's glory that he plays. And so, you know, as you do that and someone says, hey, good job on that test. Hey, good job, you know, playing music the other day. Reflect God's glory to them. You know, how do you do that? Oh, it's by God's grace that I do that. Many people are nervous before they take tests. I certainly was. And yet you want to know the peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, it comes from the Lord Jesus and knowing him. Let's keep going. In verse 3, it is we who are the circumcision. You know, you are the chosen people of God. He identified you. He chose you. He knew you. before your birth. And if we have faith in Jesus Christ and that alone, then we have salvation. There's no confidence in our flesh. So let's look at this next portion. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, Paul says. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So I'm going to explain what Paul's talking about, but before I do, I want to have our table time. Take a minute, talk about what confidence is Paul talking about? What are some things we in our flesh that one might or you might put your confidence in? And why is it important not to put our confidence in the flesh? Take 3 minutes and talk about that, and I'll come back up. All right, let me get a couple volunteers. What confidence is Paul talking about? What's that? Confidence in the flesh? He's talking about not having confidence in the flesh. Okay, what confidence is he speaking about specifically? God? Confidence in God? Yeah, but more importantly than God, what? I mean, there's nothing more important than God, but what are we putting our faith in? In Ian.
He's talking about how he had confidence in the flesh back when he was Saul, and how he wasn't necessarily doing anything wrong. Like, he was still flawless in the eyes of the law, but what he was doing was wrong in the eyes of God.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And specifically, he's talking about faith in Christ, that we have confidence of salvation because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. So kind of extending that. So in that flesh, what are some things that we put our confidence in?
Ourselves.
Like our own intellect. Our own intellect, smarts. What else?
Our own skills.
Our skills and abilities. Yep. Yeah. Sports, our musical abilities. Maybe we're super funny. Not me, but some of you are. We want to put our confidence in that, and we start chasing after that we can be better at that. So point one was really about, you know, not following false teachers. Point two is this, not having confidence in the flesh. I'll go back. I want to read this part. So I want to make a current day analogy on point two in terms of confidence in the flesh. Okay. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. Well, so today's version of that would be, I go to Reston Bible Church. Okay. That might be one version of it. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Well, in that sense, my mom or dad is in the RBC band, or, you know, they're a small group leader, or my dad is, you know, a volunteer in Quest or Awana. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. Oh, but I go to church every day. I read my Bible. I go to small groups. I'm an Awana volunteer. Paul says, as for zeal, I am very quick to point out, as for zeal, persecuting the church. But I could be very quick to point out my brothers and sisters. I'm good, but they're bad. You know, look what they did wrong. They're lying. They're, you know, sneaking food from the pantry. See, none of these things, they're not bad, but none of them give us a place in heaven. None of them guarantee us an eternal life with Christ. It's only putting our faith in Him and in Him alone that gives us salvation. That's what Paul has confidence in. That I now have, I trust the Lord Jesus with my life. And that I'm following Him. Okay. Point three, we're going to talk about gains. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Some translations say dung. I consider them dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So what are our gains? But whatever were gains, you know, Paul talks about this. I think we put a lot of things in this category of gains, and we've talked about some of them. There are things that the world system distract us with or lie to us about, things that I chase after and maybe you chase after, things that we think will make us cool or happy, but they don't. In the end, they all will fail you. They will all leave us wanting. You know, I'll tell you, you know, when I was younger, I wanted the job. I wanted the car. Maybe you got the phone or the relationship that you wanted with a girl or a boy, or the video game. You got the shoes, the clothes. You got the part in the play that you wanted. These aren't bad things, but when we put them above the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, that is the thing that Scripture tells us is more precious than gold. It's the thing that we're supposed to seek after with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Paul's telling you, these gains that you're chasing after, they don't satisfy. I count them as garbage. And if we're going to be imitators of Paul, we want to count them as garbage too, because they don't satisfy us. Remember, Paul says in chapter 1, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so to seek after Jesus and what Jesus has for you, that he tells you is good, to know God, to love your neighbor as yourself, this is where you will gain the abundant life. This is where you will gain joy. You know, my Bible study on Friday night was talking about resting in the Lord Jesus, being in his presence. And the verse that came to mind and is now coming to mind is, be still and know that I am God. If what Paul says is true, that having a righteous, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, of knowing that Jesus is the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, then I want to be in that spot. I want to be in the presence of God. And if you see me worship on Sunday, the reason I close my eyes, the reason I do that is so I can focus on the Lord Jesus, so I don't get distracted by what other people are doing. Not the way that they worship, but because my mind is so easily distracted. That's why scriptures always are telling us, remember, because we're a forgetful people. And I'm easily distracted. As a kid, I was easily persuaded to follow those things that don't matter. You know, Proverbs 2 verses 3 through 5 says it this way. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Such a word picture here for us. Search for it as for hidden treasure. This implies that you're digging. Whoever found hidden treasure just sitting on, you know, the edge of the stage there, That's not it. You have to dig for it. That means reading for Scripture, following your cross-references, letting the Holy Spirit lead you to the passage that he wants for you. Because what's going on in your mind is different for each one of you. And 95% of life happens what's here. And it's a choice to be joyful. It's a choice to pursue the Lord. But finding the knowledge of God, when you dig for that, like hidden treasure, when you find a nugget, not that maybe other people haven't found, but it sits with you and you hold on to it like a precious piece of wisdom that you're looking for. You know, Colossians 4:2 says, why am I blanking on it? Pray without ceasing, being watchful and thankful. You know, when one of my children, you know, we went to the ultrasound at 8 weeks old, and they found a cyst on one of my kids' brain. And in that moment, you can't do anything. You can't change anything. All I could do, my wife could do, was pray. Lord, that you're in control, that we trust you, Lord God, that you are sovereign with whatever is going to happen. And they told us, sometimes it goes away, sometimes it's nothing, it's just there. You know, our technology is so good now. But for 3 weeks until we get a follow-up appointment, you're wrestling in agony, and you're just praying, Lord God, let me trust you. Let me know your presence. Let me know not that we're ever given the plan, but let me know that this is good. You know, and praise God, you know, when 3 weeks had passed and we went back, it was gone. There was nothing there. And yet, in that time, we can agonize over, you know, what's happening. And it's so important that we search for hidden treasure, that we're searching for the Lord, that we would know God. And in that moment, God met us, you know, to pray without ceasing, being watchful and thankful. Did God change that cyst because we were praying? I don't know. What I know is that God's peace surpassed all understanding while we were waiting. That I can testify to. And so I want you to get this concept of knowing Christ. It says in verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You know, it's this idea of knowing Christ that I was just talking about. And I want to give an example that's maybe a bit tangible. So I need a bit of audience participation, wake you up a little bit here. Raise your hand if you know George Washington. Okay, everyone heard of George Washington? Yep. Okay. So I just keep them raised, okay? And if you know, like, if you know this is true, I want you to keep your hand raised. If you don't know it's true, it's okay. Just at that point, put it down. I'm going to give you a couple things. He was a president. Yep. Good job. You know he's a president. He was a general. Okay, good. He had no formal education. No formal education. Never went to college. Okay. He had 3 brothers and 2 sisters. A lot more half-brothers. Okay, good. His wife was Martha Washington. You probably know that. Who read one of his autobiographies? If you read his autobiography, you can keep your hand up. Okay. Okay. Who read his farewell address in 1776? Okay. Twice. Okay. Okay. Notice. We know about George Washington. We know about the life of Jesus. You can put your hands down. Okay. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about knowing facts about Jesus, that he was born to Joseph and Mary, that he was born in a manger and virgin birth. We're talking about knowing the Lord God, that you intimately walked with him in the cool of the day, like Adam and Eve walked with God, about knowing him, about knowing when you're concerned about that medical problem, that God is there for you. That's the knowing that God's going to show up for you when it's hard, when you're going through trials and hardships. And you will. If you haven't gone through them now, you will in your life. Scriptures say, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, Jesus came for that, that in that moment, you would not be forsaken, that you would not be alone. And so that's my point number three, that knowing God is of ultimate worth, and not just knowing facts about him, but that you could walk with him, that you could approach him as a friend, as he describes in Scripture, that he is your friend. He is your healer. He doesn't want to be foreign to you. He wants to be as if he's sitting in that chair next to you. And so will you wake up and have breakfast with him, have a coffee or a bowl of cereal? He's there as your friend. That's all he wants, is a relationship with you. And he's as tangible as that person that you call when you are struggling. In that same way, you can pray to the Lord God. You know, Jesus is the ultimate high priest, that you could be in God's presence. If you know him, you don't need to shy away from being with him. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, there it is again, believers. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. And so, like, I think about this passage as a staircase. You know, as infants, you could only put your hands on the first stair. Same way, if you're new to Jesus, new to knowing that he's your Savior, just put your hands on that first step. Whatever he's taught you, you have eternal life. Rest in that. For you that are more mature, forget those shameful things that are behind you, and strive for what God has called you toward. Toward righteous living. Toward sharing Christ with others. Not to be fearful of man, what man might do to you. I might share Christ in my workplace, and I might get fired because of it. That's okay. If it happens, God has a different job for you planned. He wants you in a different place. Nothing happens without God knowing it. He is sovereign over all. And so you can walk in that. You know, I'm sure all of your leaders would tell you, I have not obtained it. I seek because I don't know. And God is calling us to be lifelong learners of what Jesus has for us. And that each day that you would know more than you knew yesterday. And that comes from being faithful to being in his word and walking with him. So kind of the last point, or I guess this is point four. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now, tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul's pretty clear here. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And this described me when I was a kid. I didn't know Jesus. I have my mind set on earthly things. Because Satan is crafty, like we've said before, and he wants to distract you. He wants to mislead you with lies. Don't let him do that. Seek after what Paul is telling you, to attain more knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, join together, it says, in following my examples. Let's skip past that. Back to my main point. Join in imitating me. This is Paul talking, not me, Todd. But join in imitating Paul and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example. You know, he's just finished telling you in chapter 2 about Timothy and Epaphroditus, fellow believers that were sharing Christ with others. And that's what he's calling us to. Be imitators of them. You know, be imitators of, you know, folks like Mr. Veach or Mrs. Johnstone, who's, you know, working with young women to disciple them. You know, where? They meet with you, Jonathan, others. They meet with you to break bread, to talk about what's going on in life, and to speak scripture and truth into your life. How do they do that? They do it because they're in the Word of God on a daily basis. And they bring what they have learned over a lifetime of walking with Jesus to your circumstances. You have that same ability to do with your friends and your classmates, your neighbors. You know enough, even if you know just John 3:16. God loved the world. He gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Even if you just know that, your friends are struggling, they're hurting. Where does your hope come from? Share with them where your hope comes from. And so I want you to find godly people and imitate them, you know? My last point is this, you know, living as citizens of heaven. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we know we have a place in heaven. We know that's secure. We know he's sovereign. Then be joyful. Walk out of that. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's my prayer for you, that you'll live out of being a citizen in heaven, that you have salvation, that you're trusted and secure in that, that God loves you and that he has a plan, that whatever struggle you're going through right now, maybe he's just calling you to walk in his presence closer, so that you'll know him in a deeper and more intimate way, that you'll truly know him and experience him. That's my prayer for you, that you know him, and that if there is sin in your life, that you'll confess that sin, and he's righteous and just to cleanse you from it, and will purify you from all unrighteousness, that we walk with him. And so let us wrap there. Close your eyes and bow your head with me, if you will. Lord Abba Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are our healer, our friend. Lord, if we put our trust in you, we know we have salvation. Lord, that we have eternal life with Christ Jesus. Lord, in that, and not anything we do, not any sermon that we listen to, not going to church on Sunday, not being a nice person, none of that saves us, Lord. Help us not to put any confidence in our flesh, Lord, but help us to confess these sins to you, Lord, that you will transform us, that you will turn us more into your image, Lord, that every day that you'll knock off the spurs and the errors in our ways, Lord, that you will make us more like you. Help us to know your son, Jesus, Father. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we pray as we close now. Lord, you dismiss us with your protection. Help us to be the men and women that you want us to be. Give us a passion to know your word, Lord, and to study it. And help us to be still and to sit in your presence, Lord God, that we would know you in a more deeper and intimate way, Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have